people will never be added to the Lord unless we preach the gospel. It's impossible. That's how he does it. So obviously these new believers, understanding, quickly went out into the neighborhoods. They began to preach the gospel, and God's hand was upon them, and many believed. Now, as you look at the church, the model that we want to follow, I think Antioch is a beautiful church. Letter A, it needs to be a church interested in evangelism. It must be a church interested in evangelism.
It's good to be with you again tonight, and I pray as you meditate and think through maybe some of the things that we talked about. You know, it's impossible in one message sometimes to give it the rounding and everything that's needed as far as the right balance is concerned. And, you know, when I think about making disciples and evangelizing, I think sometimes we listen to a message like that and we come away and say, individually, I just need to do that. And clearly in the Word of God, there are individual challenges that are given to us. And yet, at the same time, what we'd like to really focus on tonight is a little bit more of the corporate idea and really how this works together as a church. I was reading a book on evangelism the other day, and I'll be honest with you, I've read very few books on evangelism, very few. And maybe I should read some more because I still have a lot to learn. But in the book, the man said this. He said, you know, if God has given you a desire to reach people for Christ, he said, the very first thing that you should do, what do you think it would be? The very first thing he said you should do is you should find someone with a kindred spirit that can work together with you in the area of prayer as you seek to reach out. And I thought that was an excellent idea. And really what he's trying to say to us is that evangelism and discipleship, although God has given individually to us that challenge, really it's much a corporate thing. And I can't spend all the passages of Scripture, but Jesus talked about it in John chapter 4, where he talks about those that sow and those that reap and those that sow. And when you come together, you'll rejoice together in the harvest day. He talked about that. And you know, when you talk about evangelism and trying to reach people for Christ, you and I know how limited we are. And you know, if you look at the Apostle Paul and how he deals with the text, it's interesting. And again, we don't have time to look at all of that. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he says to those believers, and for me, he says, speaking about prayer, and for me, I want you to pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that boldness may be given to me. In fact, he realized that many of his open doors and the things that were accomplished really took place because others were praying for him. And so if you're really in earnest about trying to reach people for Christ, you need other people joining in with you in this whole endeavor. This is not an isolated thing. I've done that too long in my life. I've looked at it as more of an isolation thing. God never intended it to be that way. And we're going to look at a local church to me that is a beautiful example of how we might pattern some of the things that we ought to be doing and really the impact that it can make in the world. I hope you understand that Sailorville really has something very special on Sunday nights. You know, I love coming to this church on Sunday nights. There just seems to be a buzz and a friendliness, and I just always look forward to coming here on Sunday nights. I would say that's not true about many churches. And we should be thankful to God for how he's working, guiding, teaching us. And I pray that we will grow in our understanding so that we might become more the church that God wants us to be as we grow in the things that are before us. So let's just pray as we begin. Father, thank you so much for this day. And Father, I thank you for the church here. You've used this church in a wonderful way. But Father, I really believe you want to use it in a far greater way than it's ever been used before. I pray that we might sense that from you. And I pray that as a group of people united and moving in one direction behind a pastor that loves you with all of his heart, that we might be able to see that take place. We thank you for our pastor. Even though he's not here tonight, I thank you for the whole pastoral staff here and the vision that they have. And I pray that that might grow and that you might use each of them to challenge us as we seek to grow closer to you and to obey your commands. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you got a handout sheet, you can go along. It has sort of a fill-in, so if you have a pen handy, you can write in some words. This is sort of a classroom, but I hope it's a learning thing for us as we consider the church at Antioch. Really, that's what we're going to look at tonight, is the church at Antioch. If there was one church, I suppose, that I would love to have spent some time in, it would be this church right here in Antioch. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 11. And we're going to have to sort of fly through this, but I pray that we can make the points, the emphasis that we need to make in the time that's allotted to us tonight. The very first statement I have on your worksheet really should read this way. The sending church, it's speaking about a mission church, and that's what Antioch is going to be. The sending church provides the fruitful ground to raise future missionaries. The sending church provides the fruitful ground to raise future missionaries. I teach at Faith Baptist Bible College, and I enjoy my time there, and I love spending time with students there. And we can give information out, and we can challenge, and we can teach. But the actual training of young people for ministry does not take place at the Bible college. The actual training of young people is supposed to take place within the local church context. The training needs to take place right here. And that's God's intent as you look at a local church and as you look at this church at Antioch. There are some characteristics about this church that we ought to copy and understand that God could take that influence worldwide if we would gain a vision of what God would like us to gain as we look at this church as well. Now again, hard to develop the whole context in the time that we have, but God has worked powerfully in the Jewish converts, but now we have Gentile converts as we come to Acts chapter 11. Look with me at verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, a powerful and an important city. And they're preaching the word of God to no one but Jews only. But some of them who were from Cyprus and Cyrene. Interesting, remember that Barnabas is from Cyprus. I want you to keep that in mind because obviously there's a connection here. And as they go from Cyprus and Cyrene, they end up at Antioch and they spoke to the Hellenists preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. What an exciting day. Here now they begin to work and all of a sudden something explodes here in the city of Antioch, a Gentile city, a major city. And as Jerusalem hears about it, they said, we need to send somebody quickly to that area. And notice that becomes Barnabas if you look at it, verse 23. Now the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When they came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Now this is an exciting thing that is taking place here in Antioch. They begin to preach the word of God. Barnabas gets there. They begin to preach it, and God's hand begins to move. How are people added to the Lord? There's only one way. People will never be added to the Lord unless we preach the gospel. It's impossible. That's how he does it. So obviously, these new believers, understanding, quickly went out into the neighborhoods. They began to preach the gospel, and God's hand was upon them, and many believed. Now, as you look at the church, the model that we want to follow, I think Antioch is a beautiful church. Letter A, it needs to be a church interested in evangelism. It must be a church interested in evangelism. I pray. I've been to many churches. I get to travel. There are very few churches to me that are really, really interested in evangelism. You know how you can tell? All you have to do is listen to what people talk about as they fellowship around the church. You will begin to learn what really is important. I have been in a few churches where people are at a buzz talking about their opportunities to share Christ and how people are responding. And I'm not saying that's all you talk about. I'm not trying to say that. But you can tell when a church is really interested in evangelism. It is exciting to watch. And you know, as we consider making disciples, and God burdens our hearts to do that, and we start to work with one another, praying one for another, and God begins to open doors, there will be a buzz here too. There already is to a certain degree. I can watch it and listen in different conversations, and it's exciting to me some of the things that people are thinking of. Some people go to a jail and preach. Other people are south of Des Moines preaching the Word of God. Other people go out on Wednesday night sharing the Word of God. Others share at work. There's so many. Others are working in Awana. There can be a buzz of the opportunities that God is giving to us to share the Word. That should be a part of us. This church was overflowing. And I can almost imagine how exciting it would have been to be in this church when God was moving. You know, and I get to listen to some of you talk, I get excited about it as well. And I pray that that would just multiply here at our church. God's doing something in our church, and we want it to grow and move in that direction. It has to be a church interested in evangelism, letter B. It needs to be a church interested in discipling new believers. Notice as you go through, Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. The idea is they discipled them, these new believers. They worked with them. They taught them. They enjoyed doing that. And that needs to take place as well. It's a great joy to work with new believers. Quickly moving on. Letter C, it needs to be a church that recognizes its debt because of receiving the gospel. And I'm not going to spend time, but I pray that's apparent to all of us. We are debtors, every single one of us that has trusted Christ. And we need to take the word to others. Letter D, it needs to be a church that is interested in others outside its sphere. That becomes apparent in verse 27. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. Now notice the response of these new believers. You see the balance. They're saved. They're being discipled. They sense a debt. And now they see a need outside of them, and they quickly move to try and meet that need. That is a good characteristic. There needs to be a right balance. Sometimes in our churches, we get a great desire to look outside without ever looking at the local area. You see the balance in this church. They are excited about reaching their own local area, and then they're interested. Too often I am in churches that are interested in going overseas with a burden. They do nothing to reach their community. That's not biblical. It needs to be balanced. This church was balanced. But they clearly saw a need, and they wanted to reach out. And it's great to see that as you look at this church. Letter E, it needs to be a church that is willing to sacrifice for others. And clearly we can see that as they tried to each one determine to send relief. They were willing to sacrifice for others. It needs to be a church that is willing to fast and pray. Letter F. And if you go over to Acts chapter 13, you continue with this church at Antioch. Chapter 12 is sort of a parenthesis, but chapter 13 picks it up again. It says, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahem, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. There is a place still for fasting and praying. And I pray that we would understand that within our ministries, within our lives. This was a godly church that was moving forward for God. Also, as you look at it, letter G, it needs to be a church that is able to hear the Holy Spirit. Notice the Spirit of God talk to the church. These people were Spirit-led. And I pray you're in the Word of God on a daily basis that we might sense God's direction for us in this church. They knew the voice of the Spirit of God. It needs to be, Roman numeral 2, it needs to be a church that is willing to lose some key people for the cause of missions. You know, if you're going to do something right for God and God gives you a burden and you begin to move out at a church, then God is going to take a church like that that has a vision for its own neighborhood, and he's going to take a few people out of that and put them someplace else. It should be a great joy for us to lose people like that. It's a great joy to lose Dave Heisterkamp to Polk City. It really is. And the people that went with him. I mean, it's not that I don't love those people. I do, but I'm glad we lost them. And I hope we can lose a lot more in the future just like that. It was a great joy to lose the Matthews to Australia. And may God give us more in this group. You see, this church was willing to lose people. You know, it wasn't the old thing when the Spirit of God came upon and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. I don't think the church was saying, boy, I wanted to get rid of those guys, those rascals. I can't stand them. You know, that's not the idea. These guys were greatly used of God, but this church realized that God wanted to do far more than just their local area. And so they took off. Great to lose people like that. Did this church suffer because of it? Paul and Barnabas came back from the missionary trip. Was this church still here? You bet it was. Probably prospered all the more because they lost people. It's funny to me, in visitation as we go out on Wednesday nights, a lot of the people that would go out with me on Wednesday nights ended up going to Polk City. I wonder who's going to go out with me. I don't know how many. We probably at least doubled the number of people. We lost some, and now God doubles it. That's the way God works. If we want to do something for God, we're going to lose some people. But if we lose them in the right way, boy, that's a great privilege for us. Now, there's something else as you move down the worksheet, and I know time is getting away. We want to move through this quickly. These qualities are essential to be a fruitful local church, to create the right atmosphere, to call out missionaries, to provide the actual training they need for future service. You may never go to the mission field, but if God has given you a burden and you work within this local church, in reality, you become their trainers. That should happen. God may give you a burden to reach people right here, and another young person might come up beside you and start to work with you, and then God will call him to go someplace else, but you're actually the one that's training him right here in this local church. Where in the world are young people going to get a vision for what they should do out there? It's got to take place here. Otherwise, they go out without a vision. They go out without training. This church was such a powerful church for God. But I want you to see something here, because this becomes the key to me as I look at what they did on the mission field. And with that, you know, as you look at down on this next part, this becomes the key to me. In Acts 11:24, we already noted evangelism was important. If you would just jot that in there, evangelism clearly is important. Now go with me quickly to Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Now watch what Paul and Barnabas, as they go out from the church at Antioch, watch what they do as they get to the mission field. Watch. They notice, 14:21, and when they came and when they had preached the gospel to that city, what did they do when they went to that city? They preached the gospel. But that's nothing new to them. They preached the gospel at Antioch. You see, what they did in Antioch, now when they went to the mission field, that's exactly what they did. We preached the gospel in Antioch. God bless. We're moving to this city. We're going to preach the gospel. You say, well, that is basic. You would think and hope that's basic, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are missionaries and people sent out that have never caught a vision from their local church. They've not even been involved in evangelism. And we send them out. What's going to happen? Nothing. You see, they have to learn it. They have to get a vision right here in our church if we're going to send people out. But evangelism was clearly there. In 11:25, I'm going to just say that leadership was in place. Leadership was in place. We saw that Barnabas was sent. We didn't read all of it, but in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, it talks about those leaders that were in place at the church at Antioch, some godly men. Now notice what they do when they go to the mission field. Notice as you look down at verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church. Now the word appointed is simply a Greek word. It means lift a hand. They recognized some of the people, but they realized that if this movement of God was going to continue, they looked back at the church at Antioch. They said, we had godly leaders in place. So obviously, the pattern that we saw in Antioch, we're going to follow through and do the same thing over here. We're going to put godly men in place. Do you see what they're doing? They're following the pattern of their own church that sent them out. Now look at Acts chapter 11, verse 26. We said discipleship was important. In Acts chapter 14, verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. These people are following the very same pattern of what they did in Antioch. They preached the gospel, they had leadership in place, they're discipling people. The same thing that they did in Antioch is the same thing they're doing on the mission field. That's the way it ought to work. That's the way it should be done. Notice as you go through, we'll just write down just a few more. Notice in Acts chapter 11, 29, we noticed sacrificial giving. And I put 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 because these are some of the mission churches, but you're going to see the very same thing, sacrificial giving. Paul goes out and he preaches on the mission field. There's a need. He shares it with people. He expects them to respond. You see how every single step, all that took place in Antioch, now is taking place out on the mission field. There's a pattern here, folks. Now look as you go through. Notice Acts chapter 13, verse 3. It said they fasted and prayed, didn't they? And then the Spirit of God came upon them. They sent them out. Now look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 again. So when they had appointed elders in every church, they prayed with fasting. Wow, it's the very same thing again. They're simply following the pattern that they themselves had experienced in the church at Antioch. Folks, what missions is all about is simply taking a vibrant, active church, that whole idea, and simply taking somebody out of that group and planting them someplace else. But there's so much that has to take place before you do that. Because unless they have a vibrant, active local church, they'll never gain a vision. You see, God simply wanted to duplicate what took place at Antioch. He was going to duplicate that in other geographical areas. I remember as a young believer in a church in Bellevue, Nebraska. It wasn't a perfect church, but it was a church that was active, vibrant. I watched the deacons go out calling. I had a number of young people that worked with me on the bus ministry. I watched God work, and we would watch people get saved. And then they would bring a missionary in to our church, and I loved missionaries. And they would show their slides on the screen. And after everyone was done, I would say, oh, I wish I could go there. That's what I'd say. But you know, in my mind, why did I want to go there? Why would I have wanted to go to that field? The only thing, I so loved the church that I was a part of. And God had done so much in my life. There was a longing in my heart. And I would say, God, I pray they could have a church just like our church. But you see, I gained a vision for what a church should be like as I participated right there locally. That's the only thing I understood. And if a church isn't doing what God wants it to do, do you think God wants to duplicate it? I know there's no perfect churches. But I want you to understand how important the local ministry is here as far as seeing it reproduced. This church at Antioch, so vibrant, so dynamic. And when Paul and Barnabas went to the mission field, they had in their mind what that church was like. And when they started another church, they knew what they wanted to plant it because they were involved right there. Antioch, a training ground for them. That church was multiplied many times over. It shook the Roman Empire. I don't know how God wants to use Sailorville Baptist Church. All I know is when I am going to be a part of a local church, I want to make that local church all that God wants it to be, because I want a vibrant fellowship so that as people come in, they sense the work of God, and then God looks down at that church and he says, I'm pleased. It's not a perfect church. We'll never be a perfect church, but something's happening there. And now what I'd like to do is I'd like to reach down, just take a few of those people because they understand what a local church is about. I'd like to take them and I'd like to place them right here so they could start something like that. Do you see the potential that lies in every local church? If we'd get a vision for God, my, it could be multiplied many times over. And this one, that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be involved in evangelism, in discipleship. We want God to be active working here because he's going to multiply it many times over if we're faithful. And we will have such a delight to see it take place. We should. I pray that God would give us a vision for this church. I really do. I think it's in a very special place. We are by no means a perfect church. We have a lot to learn. But you know, if we would let God get a hold of our hearts to make this church what it ought to be, we would be delighted to see what God would do with us. There would be churches that would come and say, what are you guys doing? Can we learn from you? And we could see a ministry multiplied, God calling more people out from our church to start other churches that would resemble, not perfectly, resemble the church like this. D.L. Moody said, the world has yet to see a man that's totally surrendered unto God. I wish that we might take up the challenge, but change it just a little bit. The world has yet to see a church that has been totally surrendered unto God. Wouldn't it be great to be a part of a church like that? You know, we all are gifted differently. We have such different personalities. No one can be exactly like this person or that person. God never intended it to be that way. We are so different. But if we would allow God to get a hold of our hearts and to use the spiritual gifts that he has given us and minister to others and reach the lost and disciple people, we would have such a joy together. And then we would be delighted to lose more people. I'm not saying I'm anxious to lose more people, but in some ways I am anxious to a certain degree. But it all depends on what we create right here in our church. It has really been a joy for me to be a part of this church. I love this church. But I want it to go forward and do far more than even what it's doing right now. And I think God can help us do that. As we're open to God, God can make this church what he wants it to be, and then he will duplicate it by planting it in other places, and that would be a great, great joy for us. The fruit that could be born from one local church, I don't know if anybody could ever realize all that could be done. And may our hearts cry out to God, God, make us that church. I pray that that would be your desire as well. Let's just pray together as we close tonight. With every eye bowed and every head bowed and eye closed, I pray that right there where you're at, you might sense the part that God wants you to play in this church right here. And I pray that you'll be open to the Spirit of God to direct you, to give you a new burden for this work. I'm excited to hear about some of the things and ideas that people have, creative ways. May God continue to work in each of our lives, causing us to be an encouragement one to another. And then may God be pleased to duplicate a ministry like this many times over. Father, as we bow our heads before you, I pray that in our hearts we might just say, Lord, help me to do the part that you desire me to do here in this church. Help my heart to be opened. Father, I thank you for this church. And I pray that your Spirit might be at work in a very powerful way. And may we rejoice together as you give to us fruit and as you send others out from this church to continue to do your work worldwide. But Father, help us to concentrate right here at this church, at this level. May you be pleased to bless this work in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I guess we don't. Where is Mark at? Do we sing at the end of the evening service? It's been a while. Do we normally sing? Can we sing? Yeah. Let's just...
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.